There's no God like Jehovah. Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Gracious and Heavenly Father, dear Lord, it's such a joy and a pleasure to be here this morning with these men. This glorious fellowship that we all enjoy gathering and participating in every Friday morning. We just thank you for this opportunity, dear Lord. And we thank you for the love and the fellowship and the joy that we get each Friday morning as we come together, dear Father, to just hear your word, to worship and to praise you, dear Father. We thank you for each man that's here. We ask a special blessing upon our families, dear Lord. We do thank you for all your provisions, Father. We thank you most of all for the truth of your word and the saving salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray and we thank you. Amen. No, boy, this is going to be a challenge.
Come on, brother.
I wasn't here last week because of my heart issues. And on the 19th, I was having some really bad pains. Actually, on the 18th, I have been having pains, and it started at the beginning of the month. And on the 18th, I called my primary care and went in to see her. She was able to get me in next day on Tuesday. Did an EKG and said your heart functions are not very good. You need to go to emergency immediately. And so Tuesday afternoon, about 2 o'clock, I went into the emergency room and they did a bunch of tests, all the tests, the EKGs, the echoes, the blood tests and everything, and determined that my heart had been struggling and released an agent called BNP into my blood system, which promotes water retention. And so the BNP number was like 6,500. Normal for most people is like 300. In 2019, I kind of had the same issue with the heart. My heart acted up and I went in to see her and same thing happened. She sent me to the emergency room. At that time, my BNP number was about 13, 1400. So it had exploded all the way up to 6,500. But David, my heart goes out to you and the family. I've the same surgery that our brother Earl chose to have. I have been recommended to have that surgery twice. And I do have an appointment on the 11th with a heart failure specialist to review my situation. And, but my ejection fraction, which is one of the primary measuring functions of the heart in 2019 had dropped down to 38% of blood being pumped out, and averages 50 to 60%. And after last week, it's down to 28%. So the heart is failing and struggling. But praise God, sure gonna miss our brother Earl, as we've missed all of the ones that have gone ahead of us on to glory. And we're just so thankful I'm definitely thankful. And I know I cry a bucket of tears sometimes. And I ran across a scripture in Proverbs that says, God captures every tear and puts it in a bottle. I don't remember where it is, but every tear we've ever shed, he loves us and cares that much for us that he's captured every tear and puts it in a bottle. And what amazing love. So that's the update on my status. But, you know, I wanted to just talk a little this week about lies and deceit. And I was really encouraged by the talk that Pastor Nick Cady gave a couple of weeks ago about doubt and his message to us about doubt and working through our doubt to have a faithful, stronger relationship with our God and Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And I was thinking when Pastor Nick was talking about doubt, how, I mean, there's just so many things. I mean, there's a laundry list of different things that distract us and we struggle with in order to maintain our relationship with God and to build and strengthen that relationship. Whether it's pride or lust or selfishness or whatever, but you know, for whatever reason, I've been struggling with, you know, the lies and primarily through, you know, what's going on, the issues of the world today with, you know, you name it, you know, and COVID, politics, all the stuff, the lies and the deception that's out there and everything. And I remember one of the most entertaining movies I've seen was Catch Me If You Can, about one of the greatest con men, Frank Abagnale, how he at the age of 16, when his parents separated, that he refused to go and live with either one of them. So he decided to live a life on his own. And mostly he figured out how to con people and was a fake pilot, attorney, doctor, you know, and I think he actually did pass the bar exam down in Louisiana or someplace or Texas. But what an amazing story. And then, you know, I think they said he defrauded like $2.5 million in checks. And, but, you know, lies and deceit. I remember hearing a story about a homeless guy at a Grateful Dead concert. Anybody in here Grateful Dead fans or know the music? I had to look up the music and play a couple of songs, you know, just to familiarize myself with them. No, not the appropriate venue for that. But anyway, in 2015, during the 4th of July weekend, they had this Grateful Dead concert in Chicago at Soldier Field. And there's a story about a homeless guy that obviously needed some money. So he thought of this great idea to, you know, get some money off some the people, concert goers, by pretending to be a parking lot attendant and waving folks into this vacant parking lot and just bringing them in by the loads and, you know, $30, $40 a car and filled up the vacant parking lot, which turned out to be private property. And I think half the people got booted and towed and everything, but he pocketed a nice piece of change. And I recall a story about here a couple of years ago, there was a Lithuanian gentleman who was reported to have stolen $120 million from both Facebook, combined from Facebook and Google. And I think it was like he defrauded Facebook for $100 million and Google for $20 million. And he did that by just sending in fake invoices.
Yeah.
He said,
for years.
For years, from like 2013 to 2015.
Yeah. Wow.
And they just paid him. No questions asked. They didn't do any research for, you know, goods and items that he claimed that they had purchased from him, which they didn't. But he's in jail now doing about 30 years, and he agreed to give about $50 million back. I'm sure he's doing okay with the other $70 million or so. But boy, lies and deceit. And, you know, and I think we all know where the origin of lies started and everything in the Garden of Eden with Eve and everything, the father of lies, the grandson. But, you know, when I was going back and doing a little homework and research, it really surprises me of how much in the Bible that it's just lies and deceit. I mean, in almost in every story in the Bible, and I'm just going to go through a handful of them here real quick. And so we're talking about, you know, basically the number seven commandment, do not lie, basically. And when you think about also, you know, the reasons, what are some of the reasons that we lie? Anybody? I mean,
get us out of trouble.
Get us out of trouble. I mean, selfishness, embarrassment.
Become something we're not.
Be something we're not. It's just a whole laundry list of reasons why we lie and people lie. It's easy. So, and just mentioned in the Garden of Eden with Eve, which is Genesis chapter 3. Also in Genesis chapter 4, when God came to Cain and asked him about his brother Abel, Cain lied. I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? Genesis chapter 12, when Abraham and Sarah left Canaan to go to Egypt because of the famine in Canaan, and they went to Pharaoh's house and decided to tell a lie of Abraham's and Sarah's relationship. She's my sister. Genesis chapter 23, when Jacob served Laban for 7 years and for Rachel, the hand of Rachel. And Laban fooled him, got him drunk, and gave him the older daughter, Leah, instead. Genesis chapter 31, when Rachel stole her father Laban's household gods, and Laban came after Jacob and the family and chased them down. And Rachel had put the gods on a backpack on the camel and was sitting on the backpack on the camel. And after Laban had searched all the tents and everything, he came to Rachel and wanted to search her tent. And she said, "Father, please forgive me, excuse me, I can't get up because I'm on my period. And I can't," I think but it was an interesting phrase that they used. But anyway, she lied and kept the the gods. Oh, it was, she said she couldn't get off the camel because the manner of woman was with her. Is a one way they phrase it at that time, which I thought was interesting. Joshua chapter 2, when Rahab the harlot hid the two spies, and when the men of Jericho came in looking for them, said, "I don't know where they are. They've gone out the gate. And if you go after them right now, real quick, you might be able to catch them." Not so. Judges chapter 6, when Samson and Delilah, Delilah over and over asking Samson the source of his strength. And of course he would tell falsehoods over and over again. until he got tired of her nagging and he gave in. 1 Samuel chapter 19, Saul sent messengers unto David's house to watch for him and to kill him. But his wife Micah warned him of that and faked him being in the bed and helped David escape. And when Saul asked Micah, why did she do it? She lied and said, because David had threatened to kill her. Not so. 1 Kings 22, one of my favorites, when the prophet Micaiah gave King Ahab the true word of God, that if he went into battle against the king of Syria with King Jehoshaphat, he would die. And King Ahab had asked all the other prophets, hundreds of them, if he had gone into battle, if he would win and he would have victory. And of course they said yes, but Micah told him the truth. But this is the chapter where the lying spirit comes to God when they're having this conversation about how they're gonna get Ahab to go into battle. And the lying spirit said that I will go and convince him that he should go into battle. 2 Kings chapter 5, when Gehazi, the servant of Elijah, thought it wasn't fair that Naaman, the leper, after he had been healed, Elisha told him, no, you don't owe anything. I will not take anything for the blessing and the healing that has been bestowed upon you. But Gehazi said, yeah, I think it's okay if he paid, you know, a small penance, you know, for this healing. And of course, he ran after Naaman and did get some bounty. And when he went back, Elijah asked him where he had been. And he lied and said he hadn't gone anywhere. And of course, he was stricken with leprosy. And scripture said he walked away as white as snow. Matthew 26, an interesting one, when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he had was done praying and his hour had come. And his disciple Judas came up to him and kissed him. And he said that that kiss was actually a lie, because in those days, when a disciple kissed a master, that it was a symbol of honor and respect. But Judas had turned it into a symbol of and a sign of betrayal. Acts chapter 5. Ananias and Sapphira, why have you lied to the Holy Spirit? So there's so many reasons why we lie. And I caught myself, you know, this past week, right as, and I, on Tuesday, I've been helping the Wednesday morning Longmont Men's Christian Fellowship get set up so they can, with their AV equipment. And I was working with Don Carpenter. And Don called me on Monday and asked me if, I forget exactly how he said it, but he had asked me if I had the equipment. I was getting him a mic, external mic and external camera and everything. And I said, yeah, I got it. And it was not true. I had done my research. I had went on Best Buy. I knew Best Buy and Longmont had exactly what I needed, how much I was going to spend. And I was going to go get it later that day, but he called me earlier that morning and asked me if I had it. And I said, yeah, I had it. But you know, at that time when I was lying, tell that little innocent lie, it was like, I was like, who are you? I'm thinking in my head, why are you doing this? And I was thinking, I was wanting to see a mirror so I could see who this person was. Just a little simple lie, though, but it was like, why? There was no need. And of course, I ran out and got it. But you know, and when I did go out and get it, I went in that store, Best Buy, and I walked to the back of the store, got those two items, the microphone and the camera, started walking back to the front, and my chest started hurting me so bad, I had to sit down. And for about 10 minutes, they have this little area in there where you can sit down on stools and look at the different phones and stuff like that. And I had to sit down there and just pretend that I was in such pain and just praying that I didn't pass out. But I was like, that's what you get, you know? And it's probably, you know, anyway, but it's like, why, you know, why did I have to? And I think about all the times, even with my wife these days, and just the little untruths, avoiding telling the truth and things like that. So we don't, and I know most of the time, so we don't get into these big drawn out arguments over nothing, but instead of just telling the truth and suffering the consequences, you know, I go to a place that the good Lord says, don't do that. And I think that goes back to what I was had mentioned after Nick's talked to us about our doubts and everything. And I told him, I don't have many doubts. I mean, I am comfortable in what I can do and what I have the ability to do through the strength of God. But I do have a challenge with obeying his words and doing what he tells me to do. So y'all pray for me, please. But just so, you know, and I know we're all thankful that we serve just such a good God that he provides a way out no matter what the issue is. And I just have to mention a couple of other lies and deceit throughout the history of the world, and especially the United States and everything. And in particular, I'd like to just bring up a Supreme Court decision back in, actually this was 59 years ago, a little over 59 years ago. There was a 61 decision by the Supreme Court that held that reciting government written prayers in public schools was unconstitutional. And this was in reference to the Engle versus Vitale ruling that the New York Board of Regents had approved a non-denominational prayer to begin their mornings. Students were given the choice to be excused from the morning prayer if they chose. And the prayer was about 22 words. And this is how the prayer goes. And it says, Almighty God, we acknowledge our dependence upon you, and we beg thy blessings upon our parents, our teachers, and our country. Amen. One of the most beautiful prayers. I mean, it doesn't get much more basic and fundamental than that. But obviously there were non-believers and atheists who didn't think that was appropriate. Also, Roe versus Wade, and you all are familiar with that one. And that was a 7-2 decision. It's just amazing how in all these rulings, what a almost unanimous. I mean, it wasn't, but it was a majority in each case, a 6-2 ruling with two dissensions. And for Roe versus Wade, it was 7-2 decisions or decisions that, and again, This was a lawsuit in January 22nd, 1973, when the Supreme Court made a ruling for women's rights to an abortion. And Jane Doe, an unmarried pregnant woman, filed suit on behalf of herself and others to challenge the Texas abortion laws, which, and even when I read the abortion laws, it is very strange. Even that, it was just so twisted that the woman had no responsibility in the abortion. Whoever provided the avenue or the opportunity for her to have the abortion, those were the ones that they were trying to penalize and punish and everything. So I found that pretty interesting. But, and I think in, you know, I'm reading the history of Norma McCarvey. I mean, she lied that she was raped and that she wanted an abortion and all of that. And she did end up having the baby. It wasn't aborted, but gave up for adoption and everything. But that ruling was just totally based off of lies and deception. But, and then one here recently, of course, the decision by the Supreme Court just about 4 years ago to not support the Defense of Marriage Act, DOMA, and to allow same-sex marriages. And that's one that, I mean, I just, for me personally, I just see it's just amazing how we've gone from supporting it to promoting it, society has. And all day long, if you're watching TV and commercials, you can see two men, two women together, where traditionally it would be opposite sexes. And we just, doing what God said we would do. I think Matthew 24:12 says, because lawlessness will abound. It says the love of many will grow cold, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. And the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. There's warning after warning in the Bible for us not to be deceived. Many will come and will deceive many. Matthew 24:4-5. Paul says, take heed, pay close attention. After his departure, he was warned. Savage wolves will come in, even into the church. And he was talking to believers. Even in the church, savage wolves will come in. But Jesus told his disciples, and I think it's a good word for us today. He says, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So we're not supposed to, I mean, we can't separate, right? We have to be out, active, and involved. We have to go out. But he says, be wise as a serpent, wise as a serpent, and harmless as a dove. Wise as a serpent, but harmless as a dove. And that's where I have one of my struggles. What does that look like? I mean, we're not supposed to be passive and just sit back and just take. At some point, we have to be vocal. We have to be engaged. It can't be just a comfortable journey, just going down the road, just avoiding confrontations. What does that look like? To be wise as a serpent. Harmless as a dove. John?
Discerning.
Amen. Thoughts?
Do not fall into temptation.
Speak truth to power. situations different have to be guided by the Spirit. Amen.
Back to the discerning. Amen.
Recognize the traps before we step in.
And measuring them. And one of my favorite scriptures is to take every thought into captivity. And it's the same with every action of the world. Everything that we've been told by the world. And that was one of the, I was just close with this. I was asked a question a couple of times about religious exemptions when it comes to, taking the COVID shot or whatever it is and that type of thing. And I've asked a few people, what would be your reasoning for a religious exemption? And my first thought was, for the simple fact that my religion is that I believe in the Word of God and I trust in Him, amen, not in man. And so I have the world telling me to do one thing, and I have the Word of God over here saying, this is what I expect. This is what my will is for you. So just my belief and my trust in God, period, is my religious exemption from having to do what the world is asking me to do. Dear Heavenly Father, dear Lord, we thank you for your word, and especially in thinking of Ephesians chapter 6, dear Lord. You tell us to put on the breastplate of righteousness, dear Lord. You tell us to shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, dear Father. Father, you tell us to take up the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation, dear Lord. And the sword of the Spirit, your true word, dear Father. Father, we thank you for it. You tell us to pray always, dear Lord. And Father, we do pray, dear Father. And through all the trials and the tribulations, dear Father, whether there be lies and deceit, whether it be doubt, whether it be selfishness, pride, sex, or lust, there's so many. Job said, man that is born of woman, his days are few and full of trouble. Every day is going to have a trouble, dear Lord. But you said and you promised, dear Lord, you will provide a way out, no matter what the challenge is. Whether it's the struggles with the world today and the issues that are going on, dear Lord, or the issues within our churches, dear Lord, we're fighting about women in the church, and you just name it. You are the answer. You are the way. You are the truth. Dear Father, we just pray that all this mess and all this stress, that we would just stay connected to you and pray, that we would pray for each other, that we would pray for our brothers and our sisters in Christ, that we would stay connected to you, Father. And it's in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, we thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen.